RadioInfluence.com.
You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. We have plenty to talk about. It is the offseason for the Buccaneers, but it's never a dull, boring moment here in Buckland. Before we start, let me give some love to Hess Spinal and Medical Centers. They are the title sponsor to this show right here. They're dedicated to your recovery with 16 Central Florida pain clinics and physical therapy locations. They're devoted to helping you to your path to pain recovery. When you're going through a tough time of a car accident and you need to find a therapist and doctors, just call up Hess Spinal Centers and they'll point you in the right direction. They have the best doctors and the best care. So 1-800-618-HESS. Don't stress. Call Hess. 1-800-618-HESS. Looking at some social media, I mean, I'm seeing people sending around petitions to cut Jameis Winston. You know, I don't know if people are overreacting, you know, with the culture of just society in general. And just, we're not really talking about football. We're talking about Hollywood and just our world. There's very little tolerance for the Me Too movement. And Jameis, I mean, he stepped in it, unfortunately for him. We know of his past. We started to forget about it a little bit, but it's right back in front of us. And I'm curious to see what Jameis is going to say when he does step up on that podium and have to speak to the press. Is he going to apologize? What are his comments are going to be? What angle is he going to use? Is he going to try to act innocent? Now, obviously you're not innocent. You know, being innocent and not guilty are two different things. Okay? He might not be guilty of sexual assault. I don't know. But you did get 3-game suspension that you didn't appeal and you didn't protest. So you were definitely not innocent. Whether you're guilty, I mean, that's up to everybody else. He's taken the 3 games instead of the 6. He's got to say something. You just can't go up there and play dumb because, you know, the press doesn't give a rat's ass. They're going to fire it at him. They're going to fire all the questions at him. And I'm not sure this is a situation where he can say anything to alleviate this pressure. So, you know, you're a starting quarterback, an NFL team. There's a lot of pressure. I don't know if there's any job in the world that has that much pressure. And people look kind of crazy, but, you know, if you're a CEO of Microsoft, you know, there's going to be pressure. But if you fail, you don't get your head kicked in, and you don't have to stand up on a podium and answer every question from every slappy out there. So Jameis kind of knew what he signed up for, and we'll see how he comes out of this. And, you know, he better be a resilient young man. I think he's proved to this point that he's resilient, but we'll see if he weathers the storm and that if he's going to be a Buccaneer. He will be this year, but going into next year, it's not quite as obvious as it was 2 years ago. I mean, you would think Jameis could be our quarterback until his contract runs out, and they're going to either franchise him or re-sign him. Those kind of things are up in the air now. Now, I think his world is up in the air because I guess Jameis switched representation. Don't know whether he fired or they stepped away. Representation doesn't step away from a potential $20 million athlete. It's not going to happen. An agent is not going to drop an athlete that can make $20 million a year. That's just dumb business. That didn't happen. So from an outsider looking in, I would say that maybe Jameis' representation gave him some advice or they had differences by the way he was going to handle this whole situation with this Uber driver. So he switched representation. I don't know whether that helps anything. I don't think it makes him look any better. It's all going to be up to Jameis. That's it. As we go forward, because we know there's going to be a lot of eyes on him. You know, the Bucs released J.R. Sweezy last week. Now, J.R. Sweezy came in as a right guard, near and dear to my heart, great position. But he just didn't pan out. He didn't pan out. I don't know if he was ever truly healthy. With a back surgery, I don't think he ever came back. He didn't have the same strength that he did in previous years. So they're going to, they They cut him. He made a lot of money. That's probably half the battle. They cut him. They drafted a kid in the third round, Alex Kappa, who I guess was a tackle at Humboldt State. You know, Jason Light likes those small school type players like an Ali Marpet, who Ali Marpet's going to be moved to left guard. Ali played right guard 2 years ago, center last year. Now they're moving him to left guard. You know, I like to see less change, but obviously it's not a big deal for Ali Marpet to move from right guard to left guard. Now, I'm going to tell you firsthand, I could not do it. I tried. At the end of my career, when I was in Denver, I tried to move to left guard. Wasn't going to happen. You know, when you play right guard, you know, for 9-10 years in the league, and you create habits when you switch sides of the ball, your good habits behind you become your bad habits. You know, with your post foot being up, and it just it's ingrained in your head. When you go to the left side, you got to switch sides. So I would say it's kind of like throwing a baseball with the opposite hand or swinging a golf club the other way. Not quite as hard. But I couldn't do it. I mentally couldn't do it. So Ali Marpet's going to be there at left. They did cut Jarrett Sweezy, and I guess Caleb Benenock is one name that they're talking about moving down the guard. I remember him playing tackle last year when DeMar Dotson was hurt. Real stiff in the hips. And I think he'll be a better football player if he's down there at guard. Because when you're out there at tackle, that's never, never land out there. You can't have stiff hips out there, that's for sure. Now, I'm hurting for football so bad because, by the way, we're in July now. July is the last official month without football, and then we get into it. Once it's August, it's football all the way till February, pretty much. And those are the better months of the year. I think we all agree with that. So I'm fiending for football so bad. I put the NFL channel on this weekend, and I watched flag football. Yep, I watched flag football, and I watched this 50-year-old guy with a big pot belly quarterback his team. He wasn't bad. The guy wasn't that bad. But you know very well that you're fiending for football when you're watching old bastards playing flag football. It was entertaining in some kind of funky type way, trust me. Now, the Buccaneers start their training camp, I think it's Thursday, July 26th. I can't imagine being out there. I was outside this weekend for a minute, and I felt like my skin was going to bubble. I can't imagine being out there on that football field with full pads on. I don't know how we did it back in the day. I guess money had something to do with it. But the Bucs starting July 26th, they have 15 open practices this year, which is, I guess, the most since 2009. I don't go to a lot of the practice. I'll do a little media thing. And, you know, watching training camp practice is not really what I want to do. I want to watch football. And when you go to the Bucs practices and you're in the stands, you really can't see what you want to see. You know, the drills are far away sometimes. And, you know, other than the receivers catching balls and the DBs, which to me is not what I want to watch. I really want to watch a lineman go at it. There's not really a whole lot to do out there. I'm sure everybody be out there enjoying themselves. Last year, I actually DJed for a little bit with Street Laced. I don't know if I'm going to be doing that again because me DJing when it's 155 degrees, it doesn't go well because I sweat a little bit more than the average DJ will say. So that heat, if you're going to go there in Bucks training camp and you've been outside and you're from Tampa, you understand, you better take care of yourself and you better hydrate yourself and you better figure out some way to cool yourself down. That is for sure. Once again, watch the NFL Network again this morning, and they had the great Gerald McCoy on there for an interview. And I'm going to say this about Gerald McCoy. He's a great interview. You know, he always gives a great interview. Interviewers always love him. The NFL Network did a great job with the interview. And Gerald always has so much going on. There's lots of stuff. You can talk about his family. You can talk about his love for superheroes. And, you know, he's an interesting dude. And, you know, he was out there basically saying that how much he loves his new defensive line coach, Brenston Buckner. But I don't want Gerald to love anybody. I want you to play for him. Forget about loving him. And from what I see, Brenston Buckner is that guy where it's my way or the highway, and I don't give a rat's ass what your name is and what your accolades are. I don't care if you went to the Pro Bowl last year. If you don't do it his way, he's going to jump in your ass. And that's what I see right off the bat. And I think that's what Gerald needs. I really do. I've not seen that guy here yet. I've not. I think Brenson Buckner is definitely that guy. Rod Marinelli is the best position coach, along with Alex Gibbs, that I've been around. Alex Gibbs was an offensive line coach for the Falcons and the Broncos and a lot of great running teams. He ran the zone and was a great coach. I wasn't around him a long time, but just from the little bit of time I was with him, a great teacher. Rod Marinelli was the same guy. Great teacher, great motivator, practice what he preaches, you know, always busting his ass. Players loved him. I mean, they go out and they fight for Rod Marinelli. Even to this day, if you have an interview with Warren Sapp or Booger McFarlane or Simeon Rice, they all say the same thing. That's my guy. I was out there to fight for Rod Marinelli. Let's hope that Brenson Buckner is that guy, because we got a lot of new attitude on our defensive line. And some of the things Gerald was saying, I needed to hear. Our attitude is different this year. What we did last year wasn't good enough. I'm glad he's saying that. It's not good enough. If what you did last year equated to 5-11, then you have to come to the realization that you didn't work hard enough, the schemes weren't good enough, and something was off. So you got to start doing something maybe a little bit different this year. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to watching a Bucs defense that actually rushes the passer. I've seen the other one for too long now. It's been too long that the Bucs have allowed quarterbacks to be comfortable, whether it's on the road, whether it's in their house, and just sit back there and just pretty much torch the defensive backs for the Buccaneers. It seems like we've been watching that for a long, long time. And that starts to get old, that's for sure. So July 26th, they're all going to be out there, hopefully with a different look and hopefully with a different feel as well. Offensively, we have the talent. There's talent everywhere. And we have some up-and-coming talent, O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard, we haven't seen the crust of what he could be. Talent-wise, he's out there. Obviously, you don't get drafted that high without a ridiculous amount of talent. Kid looks the part. There was times last year where I would watch him block, and I was very, very impressed. And you just don't see a lot of pass-catching tight ends that actually like to block. Gronkowski is a good blocker, but there's not a whole lot out there. So O.J. Howard's going to have to be somebody who steps his game up. If O.J. Howard steps his game up, okay, DeSean Jackson just does what he did last year. And I don't mean statistically. I mean get open. Now, he did that last year. The ball didn't get to him. Whether it was pass protection, whether it was Jameis not getting the ball, whether the timing was off, I don't know. Mike Evans is Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans has to play a little better than he did last year. But you could pencil Mike Evans for 80 catches. Tough catches, hopefully get in the end zone a little bit more. But like I said at the end of last year, the key to the Buccaneers is in the trenches, period. In the trenches, offensively, defensively, that's where you win football games. Jameis can't win without the linemen. Not just Jameis, Ryan. Ryan Fitzpatrick is our starting quarterback for the first three games of the season. So offensive line has to play well. Defense has to play well. That's not dogging out Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think he's a good backup quarterback, that's for sure. But you don't want to put the weight on Ryan Fitzpatrick's shoulders to have to win football games. You can kind of do it that with Jameis, although he hasn't answered the call. But you can see Jameis as a guy his whole career who you have confidence could go out there and win a football game. But maybe there's not quite as much confidence as there has been in the past. That's for sure. Now, I saw that Cam Chancellor, he said he played his last game. Now, one thing that we're seeing in the NFL, and it used to be that you have to pry somebody off the field until they can't walk. These days, there's guys stepping away, man. There's guys stepping away from the game. Cam Chancellor, the safety for the Seahawks, had a neck surgery in the offseason and basically said, I think I played my last game. You feel for the kid because he was a big hitter, great football player on a great team. and you don't want to play, you don't want to go out like that. You want to step away from the game the way you want to. Now, the unfortunate part is, you know, other than off the top of my head, Peyton Manning and John Elway, and those are obviously really big names, nobody really steps away from the game the way they want to. I didn't. I mean, my last year in Philadelphia, which would have been 1998, I played every snap, and I was in my ninth year, and then that was the last football that I played. So that's not the way I want to go out. I'm not complaining, but somebody like Cam Chancellor, you don't want to go out with an injury. You know, that's a tough way to go out. So, you know, you hope everything works out with Cam Chancellor later on in his life, because he's gonna do some big things, that's for sure. Now, Jameis is suspended for 3 games. There's been some other suspensions in this offseason for all you other NFL fans out there. Mark Ingram was suspended for 4 games for PEDs. PED seems to be the offseason thing. I don't know why they just don't legalize it, to be honest with you. Because there's people, everybody's taking something. Okay, you're not going out there with the potential to make that much money. You're not taking anything to help you. It doesn't work that way. In certain sports, it just doesn't. Well, actually, most sports, you're going to do whatever you can to push the limit. And some of these guys obviously did a little bit too much. Mark Ingram, 4 games for PEDs. We heard Julian Edelman, 4 games. He had some cockamamie excuse. I don't know. It's always something I got at GNC. It's never steroids. Like, one day I would feel like somebody goes, yeah, man, you got me, dog. My bad. Everybody else is doing it. Don't put that part in it. But I'm tired of hearing why you took something off the shelf at GNC and you tested positive. Stop it. No way. I don't want to hear it. Thomas Davis, 4 games for PEDs. Vontaze Burfict, 4 games for PEDs. And once again, Jameis, 3 games for conduct. So there's going to be a lot of teams without a lot of good football players. Julian Edelman with the Patriots. I'm definitely not going to shed a tear for the Patriots, because I don't know, whoever the hell's behind him, it doesn't really matter. But they're going to win football games. Unfortunately, we're not in that situation with the Buccaneers that we could say that we're going to win football games regardless. We're definitely not in a situation that we could say we're going to win football games without Jameis. Although we did last year for a bit. I still hear people asking for Ryan Fitzpatrick to be the starting quarterback. That's a waste of breath. If Ryan Fitzpatrick's our starting quarterback, then you might as well cut Jason Light, okay? And you might as well get rid of Dirk Cutter. You might as well, because their future is done. Because, you know, that's not the future. He's not on the side of the stadium. Only a few players are on the side of the stadium. That's who's running the show. And watch what you wish for. The second you want to get Jameis out of here, next thing you know, he's going to come back in a Saints uniform or something like that and torch the Bucks, because Jameis still has a lot of good football left in him, no doubt. You know what's a shame is, we've done this in the past, the Buccaneers have had quarterbacks, and really we dealt with all their rookie, young, immature bullshit pretty much just in time to let them go elsewhere and shine. And we don't have to go over all, there's lots of names from all the way back from Steve Young, the Vinny Testaverde who I played with, Trent Dilfer, who won the Super Bowl. And you don't want to do that with Jameis Winston, especially a guy who was the first pick overall in the draft, because when you pick a quarterback first overall in the draft, you're expecting great things from him, and you're expecting him to turn around your franchise. And there's no way Dirk Cutter ever imagined when he drafted Jameis 4 years ago that he would bench him for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I hope not anyways. And for our franchise, you know, it's not trying to get personal, but for our franchise, if Jameis is on the bench, we got to hit a reset button and start all over. And that's not what you want to do. That's definitely not what Dirk Cutter wants to do. And Jason Light, the door handle will hit him straight in his ass on the way out if Ryan Fitzpatrick is our quarterback going forward. So if you're a Buccaneer fan, you sure enough want Jameis Winston to be your quarterback. Now, I get the whole thing. I get the Me Too thing. I get it. There's some people that have lost their jobs because of that. You think about it, you know, that one reporter that laughed at Trump said he grabbed him in the pee, he lost his job. Now, our president retained his job, but the reporter lost his job for laughing. So you're talking about grabbing a girl, you know, in an Uber. Yeah, that's a problem. And you really, it doesn't matter if you're an NFL quarterback or not. A lot of people, they frown upon that. That's just, it's a bad idea. So let's hope that Jameis matures. We're going to see the maturity of Jameis Winston when he gets up on that podium for the first time. I'm not sure he's not going to cry. Because, I mean, for what? People are saying you know for what you did. And it's not alleged. You took the three games. It's not alleged. You took the three games. But the way people are going to look at Jameis Winston, sometimes that's more important than winning, the perception people have of you. And he was starting to turn the perception to his way, and this kind of flopped right back to the FSU days. So we'll see how Jameis deals with all this. This is going to be, you know, I remember last year saying that one of the reasons why I thought the Buccaneers were going to be successful is because it seemed like every offseason was like Days of Our Lives or some kind of soap opera where some crazy stuff was happening with either Raheem Morris or John Gruden or whoever it may be. And there's a lot of turmoil. Like last year, there wasn't any turmoil and they still won 5-11. Well, this year we're starting with turmoil. So we'll see how the Buccaneers deal with this whole thing and we'll see how the whole thing turns out. Now, if you guys have any questions for me about football, I love answering football questions. I'll try to answer any questions you have. It's Ian Beckles at RadioInfluence.com. For you people who love podcasts, I am doing a medical marijuana podcast on Wednesdays. Cannabis podcast, it's called. And I also do Flavoring the Year, which is just kind of a main pop culture. We do talk a little bit about politics. We have a good time doing that. So you definitely want to check all of those on Radio Influence if you guys are in a podcast trying to work out and getting your groove on. So I appreciate all you guys listening in. Football season is right around the corner. It's pretty damn hot out there. But training camp's right there, man. Get your water, get your Gatorade, go check them out a little bit. And before you know it, it's going to be August and it's going to be preseason football. So I can't wait. I can stop watching flag football, which is one of the lowlights of my life. So everybody have a wonderful week and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
This is a Crush Performance Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
So what are the odds of going pro? Well, some of the numbers from the NCAA are pretty revealing when we consider the probability of an athlete competing beyond high school. The most recent numbers look at the entire pool of high school athletes and give us a percentage of how many go on to play NCAA. And then, as that talent pool funnels down, how many NCAA players actually sign major pro contracts? Well, in basketball, coming out of high school, 3.4% of all those players go on to play NCAA. From the NCAA, 1.2% go on to sign major pro contracts. Men's baseball, an interesting one, 7.1% of high school players go on to play NCAA baseball, and that's a number that's growing. We're seeing the college route become more and more popular in the game of baseball because Major League Baseball is now promoting that as an avenue for development. Now, out of that NCAA pool, 9.5% of college baseball players go on to play professional baseball. In football, out of all the high school football players, 6.9% play in the NCAA, which is the main training ground for future NFL players. 1.6% of NCAA players go on to play pro. So the odds are stacked against you, but somebody has to play.
Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crichel, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.